Well, it seems we're going to need to reconsider and review our disaster response protocol. The 8.1 Richter powerful earthquake that rocked the Pacific side of Mexico, the largest earthquake they've had in over 100 years, taking 61 lives, many of them children, and leaving millions without power, was hardly covered in the shadow of our own national concerns over hurricanes Harvey and Irma. And not to take anything away from the people in Southeast Texas and the ghosts there, but there's those people in Nepal and Bangladesh and India where severe flooding over the summer has claimed over 1,000 lives and leaving 41 million people coping as they are deserted and stranded and walking through waist-deep and knee-deep water for many, many weeks in a row. While the waters have receded, the humanitarian crisis is just beginning. In Nepal, the flooded areas are like most places, particularly extreme for the poorest of the poor, where families there live in bare mud huts and have relied on subsistence farming for food, food that's now totally underwater and spoiled, and thousands of people are stuck living under plastic tarps and camps. And for the displaced persons there, the waterborne diseases are beginning to spread. One Red Cross worker who's working in that area said that she's heard over and over and over again, "We're used to flooding in this part of the world. We have a monsoon every year, but we've never seen anything like this in our lives." And as I watched with you the video clips of the Florida migration heading north on interstate highways, I thought of the irony of a nation debating refugees and immigrants finding itself in its own relocation crisis. And then there's all those fires in Oregon, Montana, California, Washington State. Montana has lost 1 million acres of forestry. State officials say this fire that they've been raging is one of the top five disasters in Montana State's history. And now we're back to the hurricanes. People in Houston, we've seen flooding before, but we've never seen flooding like this. And the meteorologists, we've seen hurricanes before, but we need new colors and new categories to describe what we're noticing. It's a dangerous world out there. And how the calling for us as people of goodwill to band together, to recognize none of us can live isolated on our own steam, in our own power, taking care of only our own needs, how much we need each other, and how thankful I am to be a part of a church that has worked for its whole history on welcoming, including, inviting, receiving, empowering. I mean, we'll take anybody at Central Baptist Church. And I'm not just talking about people from Arkansas. I was fine, Justin said he was from that state. I think we're pretty open and giving, but Duke, really, Duke? I truly love living in Kentucky. And not only because we're so far away from the shore and the coastline, but it does seem like those margins are beginning to shrink. And I see three options available in our disaster response protocol. The first response is denial and escapism. The popular philosophy of this perspective teaches it doesn't matter if it doesn't directly affect me. If I'm not in the path of the storm, well, I'm sorry about your luck, but that's your problem, not mine. A second option is to be overwhelmed with fear and frustration and maybe even anger. It's natural. Negative circumstances will produce negative thoughts and emotions. Natural. Understandable. But not inevitable. We can be concerned, but we should not be immobilized by fear. We can be anxious without being blinded by our worry. Courage, real courage, faithful courage, is positively seeking to do something for good, even when we're anxious, even when we're afraid. One of the beauties of disaster are all these neighbors coming to help. Perhaps some of you are fans of apocalyptic literature and videos and movies. Here's something they never write into the plot, at least very infrequently do they write into the plot. It's always dog eat dog, everyone against each other, the survival of the fittest. But they fail to write into these terrible stories of doom in the future is that oftentimes the human spirit in the time of crisis and disaster rises forward and seeks to give aid and help and love and support and care for those who are weak and wounded and in trouble's way. So there's the third way, the faithful way, what Jesus described as the narrow path, what the words of Romans tell us is the summary of everything religious wisdom teaches. Love others as much as you love yourself. That love, this kind of love, does no wrong and fulfills the law. And by the witness of Matthew, the very witness of heaven is paying attention so that how we treat each other here in this place is celebrated there in that place. We celebrate compassion and care and service. And this way brings life. This way invites salvation. And on this day of deacon ordination here in a Baptist church, we talk about the importance of mutually supportive relationships, the equal calling all of us share in Christ as Jesus followers to provide water to the thirsty, seasoning our lives with salt of truth and goodness, and sharing the light of love to a world living in darkness. And this task is so overwhelming, so important, so crucial for our lives and our faith and our world that it cannot be accomplished by just a select few. It's impossible. Impossible to do this great work alone. We need each other. We need others to help us. And the church needs others to help us along the way. Most of you are well familiar with a hierarchy, where the important people are at the top and the less important people are somewhere down the bottom, like a pyramid, where you have one single important leader at the very top, and then below you have a few senior leaders, and below them a few junior leaders, and then eventually getting to organizers and others to then reach a whole group there at the bottom, that large group there at the base of the pyramid. And here's what Baptists started doing a little over 400 years ago. in congregational life and other congregationalists in terms of their organization and their understanding of the people of God. What they decided to do was flip the pyramid on its ear and turn it upside down and recognize that the pyramid should be flat, that every single person before Christ is equal, that every single person before Christ is called, that every person before Christ is gifted, that every person before Christ has something he or she can do, and we created an egalitarian structure of organization. It's beautiful when it works. Then it has been our shame when it doesn't. This permission that you have to be an equal, important, vital part of a relational congregation. So that leaves us with a question. Why deacons? Why preachers? Why ministers? Why staff? Well, we recognize that as an organization gets larger, at times you need people that can help serve it and can help organize it and be available for it. But it's not a evaluation of worth or importance. It's simply a difference of function that certain people are willing to come and serve in a particular capacity in the life of the church, not as power brokers, but as servant leaders. And so ordination is not the conferring of one power group that has elite status as they begin to filter that authority down to those who are following in the way, but it's reversed. It's the encouragement, the blessing, the prayers of the whole people of God, holding up those who have a particular journey of leadership for a season to serve the greater needs of the church. I have no power in this congregation except the power you have invested in me. There's no home office. There's no place where I say, okay, this is what you have to do because God told me and you need to listen. That would be the quick route to retirement, I think, for me here in this place. And it should be. It should be. I can't speak for you and God. I can only speak for how God has spoken to me and hope that somehow by your hearing and by your willingness, God is also speaking to you. And we join together in collaboration. Now Matthew, passage we've read from the Gospels, recognizes that at times this is going to lead to conflict. At times we're going to find ourselves at odds with each other, and through grace and kindness, we have to work out that tension somehow. Matthew suggests we work that out in relationships. And if you and I are at odds, maybe someone can come and help and mediate that conflict and help us get to a place of reconciliation, for that is always the goal. But then if it's just totally impossible, then Matthew says something interesting, doesn't he, here? Matthew says, let that person be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. And I'm hoping that you've been reading along with the Gospels. As we follow Jesus, how did Jesus treat the Gentile? How did Jesus treat the tax collector? Jesus took him out to dinner. Put him on the inside of the movement, if they're willing. Called him to be a servant leader. We have stained glass windows commemorating some of those folks in the Fellowship Hall Gymnasium area of our church. People that are willing to serve, to be equal in the calling of God, to be servant leaders for one another. For this is the truth, I can't be everyone's best friend. I'm not sure I want to be everyone's best friend. That would wear a guy out. And so we need others to help be friends to each other. We need you to be friends to each other. That this is not a congregation where one or two or three or four do everything for everyone else, but we are empowered by God's Spirit to work collaboratively together for a beautiful picture of what the world can be God's kingdom, God's blessed, beloved community here on earth. You see, we're all in the same boat. One planet. We're all in the same boat. And just because the boat's leaking somewhere else doesn't mean it's only the people's problems that are closest to the leak. We are all here together. We all need each other. Theologian Jürgen Bultmann says that faith believes God to be true. Hope awaits the time for this truth to be manifested. God is true. God is love. And we are the servants who communicate that love, that care, and that possibility. Let us pray. Help us, O God, as we seek to follow our Lord Jesus. Teach us, O God, to accept the way He accepted, to love the way He loved, and to serve the way He served. Amen.